This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. In light of Suicide Prevention Day, we're looking today at the measures that youth groups are calling for when it comes to decriminalizing suicide as well as providing more mental health support.
So in terms of, I guess, where we are in the country on this issue, Malaysia has recorded a total of 638 suicide cases between January and July this year. And investigations showed the main causes for these cases were family problems, emotional pressure and finances. And this is more than what we saw reported in 2020. In 2020, actually, the total number of cases for the whole year was 631. So we've already bypassed that in the first half. In 2019, the total was 609 cases, and on average, there have been 4 reported suicide cases daily for the first 3 months this year. And these are incredibly sobering numbers, and they're even more sobering considering the fact that they probably aren't completely accurate. And this is not necessarily to dunk on our official statistics, just to say that because we don't have a registry, because we don't have these sorts of things, getting a truly accurate picture of the scale of the problem can be difficult.
Yes, because suicide and in a larger sense, mental health challenges are really underreported. A lot to do with, stigma surrounding the issue as well. So I think it's been said so many times that the past year has been incredibly challenging when it comes to mental health challenges. And I think that this leap in the number of suicides is an indication of that as well. And there've been a call from many parties strengthening of late of several things. One is, as you mentioned, the call for a national suicide registry, but also about decriminalizing suicide so as to remove that stigma, to make it easier for people to come forward and also for people post that to be able to get the kind of help and support that they might need. So earlier today, the Pematang Power MP, Nurul Izzah Anwar, was on The Breakfast Grill to talk about strengthening the mental health care system. Here's a snippet of Nurul talking about the effects of the pandemic on mental health and how it solidified that need to shift our attitudes towards policies on decriminalizing suicide.
I think while many term the pandemic as a socioeconomic crisis, you can't run away that we're dealing with a serious mental health emergency. I always call it the hidden pandemic because you look at people who are suffering changes in their lives, whether they've lost someone due to COVID, whether they've lost their jobs, whether they've lost their work opportunities, their lifestyle. And I think the hidden dimension is the loss of control because you're dealing with something larger than life that's unknown and you can't predict what's going to happen next week, let alone 6 months into the future. And this has taken such a huge toll on people's mental health. We can see it from the numbers perspective, or we can just understand that it's affecting real people. You look at the news, there was a man, he was unemployed, he was undergoing some family issues and he was fined 3,000 ringgit for attempting suicide. I mean, it's wonderful that he managed to survive, but with that kind of onslaught, it only added further pressure. And you see that the numbers, even though Malaysia's suicide rates are relatively lower than other countries, the number of those who attempt suicide are increasing year by year. So it means that criminalization of suicide doesn't make a positive difference on the people attempting it. So it's important to be evidence-based in our policymaking, as well as, compassionate and empathetic. And the fact is, suicide, if you attempt it, will carry up to 1 year in prison or a fine or both, right? That's the reality. And while I'm happier that the discussion is percolating in a far more rigorous manner in comparison to 06, 08, before I became an MP, but even then, I have to admit, it wasn't the main issue in everyone's minds. But now, how can you avoid it? If you talk about being a representative of the people, you hear the cries, you feel the grief, you have to bring it up, right? Regardless of your partisan stripes. So for me, I'm glad that the new minister has raised the need for decriminalization. He mentioned what it will be discussed in the select committee. But we have also lost that many, many days of parliamentary session to discuss key issues pressing all of us. And you see that the close linkage in terms of their income levels with the state of mental well-being. So it really is important to understand the link between suicide and financial issues. So it should push governments to understand the importance of laws or, you know, reforming at every level and providing sufficient social safety nets to protect the people.
That was a clip from this morning's Breakfast Grill with Nurul Izza Anwar, MP for Pematang Pau. For the full podcast, look up the title Future Proof Mental Healthcare Policies on our app or on our on bfm.my.
So on that note of trying to push harder, right, for decriminalizing suicide, and I believe as Nurul Izza Anwar alluded to there as well, there's increasing support from within the government itself. For example, Health DG Tan Sri Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah said that the Health Ministry is backing this push to decriminalize suicide and that the hope there is it would help shift efforts to prevent suicide in Malaysia and encourage those affected to seek immediate help. And after this, we are going to be speaking to a representative from Y Politics, which is, of course, a youth group and a youth-led group who, along with 17 other NGOs, released a statement demanding political will in this country to end criminalization of suicide and to replace punishments or punitive measures with mental health rehabilitation. And I think it is that final bit that we want to focus on, not just decriminalization, but also, I think, looking more closely at how it is impacting our youth and why our youth groups and the young in Malaysia are also getting increasingly invested and vocal on this issue.
So we'd like to hear from you. Are you in support of decriminalizing suicide? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with a representative from Y Politics, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are looking at the issue of suicide awareness, specifically in light with Suicide Prevention Day, which is happening tomorrow. And we're taking a look at why youth groups and young people are increasingly advocating for mental health support and for decriminalizing suicide. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you in support of decriminalizing suicide? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by a representative from Y Politics, which is a youth-led advocacy group, and they've asked to remain anonymous. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So to start off with, why is suicide prevention an issue that is particularly relevant to youth groups?
Well, I think young people especially, we are very aware of the importance of mental health. And now, especially during lockdown, we have seen this surge in suicide cases. And we see that so many of it, they are young people. So we take this very personally because we share the same struggles. We share the same experience and fears. And we feel very passionate about this issue about suicide and its criminality. And we feel that the government, they haven't been addressing these issues adequately, and we demand change.
So we often hear and talk about the pressures of being a young person in this generation. Could you share what some of the main difficulties are that might lead someone to self-harm or extreme measures?
I think as a young person, I personally feel there is very high expectations on me. And I think the same can be said about my peers. I think we all feel the same. And social media plays a really big role in that. It perpetuates impossible beauty standards and this idea of a perfect life. It also gives this very high expectation on being successful no matter the cost. And on top of that, cyberbullying, it's also a very big problem, especially in Malaysia. We have one of the highest cyberbullying rates in the world. This just cannot be a very positive environment for us to be in.
How has the pandemic and the lockdowns added to these pressures?
Well, first off, COVID, it's changed the circumstances for everybody. Nobody has been spared from COVID disruptions. And we have to recognize that such drastic changes are, you know, young people especially are very vulnerable to these changes, especially children and teenagers who need a stable and healthy environment to grow in. And they they have been subjected to the transition to online learning, which has been a very difficult transition. And we also, when we expect them to perform at the same level as if nothing has changed. And on top of that, isolation, it's been very bad for all of our mental health, not being able to interact with our family, our friends. We have lost this sense of community, and it increases the pressure and it worsens our mental health.
Are there specific groups of young people who might be most at risk?
Well, yes, I've already mentioned children and teenagers, but also the B40 groups. The lockdown has significantly affected their ability to make an income or sustain an income. It makes it very difficult to support their family, and you know, mental health issues would definitely be an issue for B40 communities. But also women. There have been reports that during lockdown, there has been a significant increase in sexual and gender-based violence. So women are also very prone to poor mental health during lockdowns.
Now, you've demanded for 7 specific measures to be considered by the government in repealing the penal code that criminalizes suicide. And we wanted to sort of look through some of them. Firstly, how would you like to see this brought forward and carried in Parliament?
Well, first off, the law that criminalizes suicide, there is this very common misconception that criminalizing suicide, it will prevent people from committing it. And it's just, it's incredibly dehumanizing because people are already suffering from mental health issues, and by making it a crime, you're just adding more harm to the person, especially if they fail to commit suicide, which is a very sad thing. So we want to see this as a primary agenda when Parliament reconvenes, which is next week. And we hope to see the MPs and ADONs and all the ministers, we want them to realize how severe this harm is, how much this law does not serve the people. And we want them to, we want this to be debated in Parliament. And I think it's important that destigmatizing mental health starts with the Parliament. They need to be able to create laws, laws that support our people and a healthy environment for everybody to live in.
And on that note about offering more support, in the measures listed, there was also a lot of focus on rehabilitative measures, including a moratorium on punitive measures, more support from the Health Ministry. Could you expand on what this could look like?
Rehabilitative measures. Yeah. So we hope that the Ministry of Health specifically, you know, they're supposed to be caring about not just our physical health, but also our general well-being. So we want to see more involvement with the Ministry of Health. They should be implementing rehabilitative measures such as accessibility to therapy and counseling and psychiatry for people who have attempted suicide or people who are struggling with mental health issues. There needs to be increased access to these channels of support so that suicide can be prevented from the onset.
Now, the stigma surrounding suicide, as you mentioned earlier, does continue to be a stumbling block in properly handling this issue. What are some ways that we can address this?
Generally, there needs to be better awareness. So on a personal level, we can be supportive. We can learn more about mental health issues and just be open to listening to people and supporting them in whatever way we can. But more importantly, at the government level, we urge the government to recognize that suicide is not a crime and to act on this. We call for the government to decriminalize suicide.
Overall, how have you seen conversations surrounding suicide and suicide prevention changing over the years? Do you think that there's been more openness to discussing it?
I think we can all recognize that suicide it has always been a very taboo topic. People don't really know how to talk about it. And I think it starts with mental health awareness. Conversations on mental health, I think, has improved over the years. Conversations on suicide, they're still quite awkward. But just like mental health issues, it's growing. There's growing awareness and necessarily acceptance, but understanding of it. And we can see this especially on social media, where young activists have been voicing out on these issues, encouraging people to seek help and, offering some sort of comfort that they are actively trying to destigmatize mental health and suicide. And I recall when lockdown was first announced a few months ago, there were several viral posts going on about how to access affordable counseling. I think this shows that we are becoming much more open to talking about these kind of taboo topics.
So what can we do to provide better support for young people struggling with these issues?
Well, first off, we need to destigmatize mental health. And I think it starts at the school level, but also in the household. So I think parents need to be very aware of how their parenting styles or, you know, the way they raise children, it has an effect on the way, on the mental health and mental wellness of children. So apart from just general destigmatization programs, parents should also actively be educated on child psychiatry and therapy and et cetera. But more importantly, we also need to make mental health services much more accessible, especially to younger people.
Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was a representative from Why Politics, a youth-led group that is a part of a larger coalition of NGOs pushing for the decriminalization of suicide. If you are struggling with suicide, thoughts of suicide, or need to speak to someone, you can reach out to Talian Kase, which is 15999, or befriend us, 0376272929. Once again, Talian Kase's number, 15999, befriend us, 0376272929. We'd like to hear from you, of course. Are you in support of decriminalizing suicide? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got these messages.
Yes, so Cheryl says, decriminalizing suicide is a great move. Now, what about the shortage of mental health professionals? And this is something that we've raised quite a bit, right? Because across the board, we're not just talking about psychiatrists, but even counselors, therapists, people who don't necessarily have to have a medical degree the way psychiatrists do, are in short supply. And I think the other question to ask is also distribution, because whether or not there are enough people across the country to provide care, right? Because we do have increasing numbers of counselors moving online because of the pandemic, and so you can access help or you can access talk therapy online. But again, we've talked about the digital divide. There are all these things that still remain barriers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think when we talk about a shortage, the shortage itself is one problem, but equal access is a whole other and perhaps larger challenge as well. And that's actually something that this anonymous listener talks about. So they say, yes, please, time to get rid of this archaic law. Perhaps it's also time to have a conversation about migrants, asylum seekers, refugees, because these are the most marginalized of us and face greater barriers such as language, level of literacy, lack of empathy for foreigners when it comes to seeking help. There may also be fear, not only of persecution, but also deportation if they seek help.
Yeah, I think that raises so many excellent points. And I think going back to what both Cheryl and this anonymous message are talking about, it's the importance, I think, in some ways of community presence of help, right? Or an openness within the community or a person in the community that people can speak to, a community center, things like that. So because otherwise, when you're talking about all those barriers, language, level of literacy, perhaps even questions of mobility, like how far are you comfortable being away from your home when you're, you know, going out there to seek help, things like that. I think we come back to that point about mental health professionals and whether we have enough community centers also that provide some measure of support.
Keep those thoughts coming. Do you think suicide should be decriminalized? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.